Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so much to say to us, his people. He loves us so much. And his return is very soon. And his return is going to take people by surprise. It's going to be so astonishing when he returns and takes his people, when he meets us in the air, and also when he lands on the earth. And, you know, as we go forward believing the Lord and taking him at his word, we learn things that we can't learn any other way. And we see things in a broader way as we grow from glory to glory. And as we see things in a broader way, we have more abilities. And we become more refined in him. We can see things form. We can see, as we experience the word of God, we received it, we believe it, we act on it. And as we do these things in combination, I mean, let's say one category of healing, another category of finances, another category in work ethics, another category in relationships, and the way we love others. We grow in different categories throughout our lives. And sometimes we come across a need to do it all over again. And let me explain. You were faithful, you were fruitful. You went to school, then high school, then college. And then you started working, you trained. And now it's time for you to learn management skills. The company may want you to be their next boss over 24 people or 36 people. It's a new chapter, a new beginning. And now you got to do that whole process all over again. And, you know, you got to learn how to deal with others. And you use what you already know as a background. But the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth to help you with the new era of your life. and you have to, we grow from glory to glory. We learn, and things happen. We have our challenges. We learn to fight. We succeed. And sometimes we may fail. But when you go back and talk to the Lord, this is where I'm getting at. When he trained you, you'll be just like Job. You knew him by the hearing of the ears, but now the seeing of the eyes. All over again in this new chapter. And now you have a broader understanding of who he is and what he's doing. You learned things you had no reference for. Watching other people manage, people usually bank off what they see others do. But then you also see the success and failures of others. And sometimes in order to fulfill the need, you have to do something you've never seen done before. That's where God comes in. And he'll show you a better way. And it's astounding. I do this in life, and it's astonishing how well it works, and how you don't have to be troubled in your heart. You don't have to lose the joy God gave you. You don't have to walk out of the peace God gave you. In fact, you do it by the strength is your joy, and you follow the peace. If you keep doing that, if you keep following the peace and keep the joy of the Lord in you, you can weather any storm. By the word of God, when you study the word of God, you become receptive. You know, if you already have your heart set to be receptive, and then you already have your heart set to be receptive, and then when you study the word, you receive it. Now, when you have a problem, your spirit man wants the answer, And when you see it in the scriptures, when you see the answer in the scripture, it's like a hungry man or a thirsty man drinking water. It'll cure that dry spot. That word will cure that dry spot. We used to play football or basketball in the summertime, in the heat of the day. So eventually you get thirsty. And we used to turn that hose pipe on. We were too thirsty to go get a cold glass of water in the kitchen. And you know, you didn't really want to go around your parents. They might have some chore for you to do. So you grab that hose pipe and you listen. I mean, you let it run a bit, make sure nothing's in there. And then you drink out of the hose pipe and the water tastes so good. I mean, it's just water, but it tastes good at that point because you're thirsty. Well, that's how it is when you have a need and you want to solve the problem biblically, and you're looking, your antennas are up, you're searching for the problem, for how to solve this problem. And then you see the answer, and when you every time I receive an answer from the Lord, it's like, this was there all along. How come I didn't notice it? Because God's word is so easy to be entreated. When the Lord come to me with a teaching, the way he teach me, it's like, I didn't see this before, but I should have. It's so simple. How come I didn't see? Why didn't I see? Because it was not in us. We didn't know it. It wasn't in our memory banks. But the Holy Spirit, sometimes you have the word in you. It's like a puzzle. You got the puzzle on the table, but until you put it together, you can't see the picture. And the Holy Spirit can put the puzzle together for you and show you the picture that from the word that you've already received. And I said, you know, that's why I'm forever amazed at how the Lord does things. He thinks of everything. But there's something in common with every teaching that he does. He teaches you in a way, he teaches you out of his love, and he teaches you in a way so that you will not get in pride over it. And sometimes, you know, that's something people have to get rid of. If you follow God, you will be successful in something. You may be successful in many things. That's wonderful. But it's just dangerous to get in pride, because it can cause a rift to be in the relationship between you and the Lord. And that's not necessary. Remember, God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. And he resists us, that's a good thing. Because if he continued to fellowship with us in our pride, it only gets worse. And something needs to happen to wake you up, to jolt you, hey, that's not going to work. You need that jolt when things go dry. And you research it, you can trace it back to when you walked out of the peace. Peace is fellowship. And I like for it to be notable if I'm out of fellowship or if I'm doing something that threatens the fellowship. And I don't want to, you know, I live in God's presence. I love him and I want to enjoy his presence full time. And if I'm watching TV and they have some off-color jokes or something, I don't want to be laughing at that. And I know that it's against what God stands for. And I know that, you know, people can do some things that are just funny. It doesn't have to be crooked to be funny. But sometimes people make crooked things funny, and that's not good. You know, I just use that for an example. But that goes for anything. I don't want to have any close agreement with anything of the darkness. I want everything that I receive and everything that I understand to be what God would sanction. And I mean that. That's just because I live in his presence. James said, our tongue should not speak just like a fountain, sweet water and bitter water. If you take good, clean, sweet water and add bitter water, all of it's bitter. And bitter water is deadly. And I want my words to be health and healing. towards everyone, even my enemies. And so when I began to ask the Lord to teach me to love his people, I braced myself to love the worst people, the people that gave me the most problems. And they were my guinea pigs. If I can love them, I can love everybody. So anytime I felt challenged to love somebody, I made sure I loved them. They were my guinea pigs. And I'm not calling them a guinea pig, but guinea pigs is what they do tests on. And I say, if I can love people that's hard to love, then, and I, you know, this is not like I'm loving people because I'm supposed to. I love people because it's right. And when I saw that it pleased God, I was motivated. And as I saw that loving people can solve problems, I was encouraged. Now, when I became a Christian, I wanted to do this, but I was unskilled. As I grew in the Lord, I wanted to love people, but if I got mad enough, I'd say something. It surprised me that day I almost got in a fight because I hadn't acted that way. One time at the grocery store, a friend of mine, we got into a tussling match, but we were angry. We were borderline fighting. And we best friends. I said, it started with horse playing, you know. I prayed that day. I said, Lord, I almost hit him and hurt him. I said, that's my best friend. I don't ever want to do that again. I said, bless us to never do that again. I'll come close to it. And we never did. But the thing is, I stopped trusting myself to do what's best. If you're going to succeed in the Lord, you have to do everything in his strength and in the power of his might, because ours is so limited. But as I was training to love people, I said, Lord, I want to love your people just like you love me. I want to love people and do what's right. I don't want to ever falter, because I saw something. When me and Slim almost got to fighting, people gathered around. They saw that we were upset with each other, and they gathered around. They stopped working to see us fight. And at my weakest moment, the Lord spoke to me. I said, I was finna lose it. And that could have did more trouble. You know, when people gathered around to see the fight, they ended up seeing a miracle. They may not realize it, but the Lord spoke to me that day. And he said, everlasting love to love a man, whether he does you good or evil. And I'm like, And my next words were good words. I said, hey, man, I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're going to talk about it. And the whole, everybody was astonished. I was astonished. Slim was astonished. And all the guys that had gathered around to see us fight was astonished. And then they saw me in a different way. They knew that I could get upset, but they knew that I cared about people. And that is priceless. Even if you get smacked upside the head, it's still worth it to turn the other cheek. I began to see what Jesus was talking about. And we never exchanged blows, but I mean, I saw what Jesus was saying. I knew it was important anyway. I think it was 2008 when I said, Lord, why did you say don't turn the other cheek? He said, I don't want my people to provoke violence. Because all the enemy have to do, if we're not set to do what's right, the enemy, all he got to do is get somebody to pull our chains, and then we'll start a fight. And he does it sometimes. And then people lose it, and then they say things, and it'll be hard for people to ever trust you again. Even though they know how it is, people are looking for hope to help encourage them to believe Jesus, if they have a mind to believe on Jesus. If they hadn't made up their mind yet, people have seen much hypocrisy, or what they think is hypocrisy. And they've heard about Christians that do all kind of stuff. They now there are Christians that shack up, and you know, they're not living the life, and so people can't respect that. They don't, you know, you got preachers that's trying to marry homosexual couples and all kind of crap. And people say, well, that's not, they know for a fact. You can be a cold-blooded sinner, you know that's wrong. And they don't know the joy and the peace that we have when you really obey the Lord. They don't know it. There's no reference for it. All they see is people that seem dedicated for whatever reason. They don't know how you feel. They don't know the fellowship. They don't know how the Lord wake you up and talk to you sometime. They don't know that you can go and pray and get answers and direction in your life. They have no clue. They have no reference for it. And then there are Christians who walk away from all that. And they know better. They experience the goodness of God. And they let other people they let the attacks of others talk them out of it and their evil desires. And that's not good, you know. But I endeavor to continue to know the Lord. That's the way it is. God loves us. He cares about us in every way. Now, as we go forward in the Lord, doing His will, doing His word, we're able to see what He has done. We're able to see everything for what it is. We're able to understand what we didn't understand. And we're able to regroup and come back stronger. That is priceless. That is priceless. So, when you endeavor into your next chapter, in order to pull it off like you want to, sometimes you just have to trust the Lord. I talk about that a lot. Last month I've been talking about aspects of trusting God. Now, trusting is just like believing. The only difference is we trust God because of the past. We're endeavoring to go into a new chapter because of good relationships and good experiences with God and in doing His word from the past. But when we believe God, we take Him at face value without the past. So, this means that you can trust God from the past, and if He tells you to do something that you have no reference for, you can actually believe Him like Abraham did. He had no reference. Now, I have many references from the past, so now I'm moving over to believe God because I know that it's still trust from the past, but I know it's going to be good. I have that reference that whatever He say to me, it's right, it's holy, it's alive, it's love, and it's wisdom. And it will work. It'll solve the problem of the day. Now, I want to say this before I get too far ahead of myself. God can do a lot with a little. And He likes to do it that way. The enemy is looking for a huge army, but God used a few people that have faith to conquer him. Think about it. Sin entered the world through one man, and God set it up for sin to exit the world through one man. Oh, God, I love Him. He can do great, a lot with a little. And I'm not talking about 10%. He can solve millions of problems with a fraction of one. That's what I mean. He can do a lot with a little. I'm going to say that again. It tasted good. Got that from my pastor. God can solve millions of problems with a fraction of one. Now, that's what He literally did through Jesus Christ. But actually, He solved billions of problems with one man. Oh, I love it. And then all the people of faith that were involved and prophesied the way. Oh, God is good. And they didn't know what it wasn't time for them. They didn't know what it was doing. It was, you can prophesy a secret. And if you really want to be puzzled, prophesy a secret. You prophesy something that's true, but even to you it's a secret. You see how our God can do things? You just got to trust him. If you do trust him, it's going to be wonderful. There are some things the Lord began, and I had very little to go on for about a decade or two. And he kept teaching me, and nobody was listening. He kept teaching me, and very few people would actually listen. I said, Lord, I could see the body needs this. The body needs this. Everybody needs this. And I don't have a platform. Then when he gave me the radio broadcast, I got all excited because now I get to share some of the things that God gives. Well, guess what happened then? On the radio broadcast, I only shared, the radio audience is everyday Joe, everyday people out there. What are that? Their concerns is what's going on with me right now. And how can I help my children? How can I live a better life? How can I? A lot of the radio broadcast is evangelism and helping and teaching. The apostolic office, it manages it, but I don't get to share the greater things that God wants to do. This is he came up with this website, and I was still receiving intelligence that I was not preaching, even though I was on the radio. I was glad to be doing something. Something's better than nothing. But I said, Lord, something's got to happen for you. If you gave me all this intelligence, and I call it that because that's what it is. It didn't come from thirsting. I'm just a vessel. When the Lord called me, he told me I would be a vessel of honor. A vessel is something you pour something into so you can pour it in, you know, it's kind of like the menorah. The menorah is a vessel. It receives oil from the olive tree, and through tubes it runs into seven lamps, and then you light it and it gives off light. Well, who gets the glory? The menorah is a servant, a vessel, but the olive tree is given the oil. God gets the glory because he is the life, and he has to relay it through his people. On a car, you would call me a relay. I'm relaying what God gives me. So it's not about me, it's about him. But he didn't release me to teach some of the things, some of the greater things he was teaching me to and sharing with me. And it puzzled me. It's like I'm walking around with intelligence and I got to keep it a secret. Why? And I would try to clue people in. I would say things to see if they get in a conversation so I could share it with them. Because I can't do it unless the Lord release it. You know, that's how I do the ministry. I don't just preach what I know. I preach what God sanctioned me to preach, what he prompted me to minister. That's when I share something. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because it's possible to have intelligence that you got to keep a secret. You know, in other words, the way of God is increasable. And he can do a lot with a little. And if we learn to move with him, we become appropriate for the time. Everything that God do is in balance. We're not used to the kind of balance that's in him. Well, the Lord would always have us doing things that's way out of the norm that we're used to. That's why we have to trust him and also at times believe him. Now, when Abraham offered up his only begotten son, Isaac, and Isaac willingly went with him, and he was grown. He was not a boy. He was a grown man. when this happened, this was not from the past. There was no reference for this in the past. They believed God. They took him at his word. Sometimes when you follow God, you have to believe him and take him at his word. There's no reference in past dealings what's going to happen. But when the Lord would give me intelligence, and then he would, I had clues. That's it. I had clues for years. I had clues. And that was a bigger need that I didn't know about. To me, everything looked fine. But as I received the intelligence, I saw the problems that do exist. And then I have to be patient when other people don't see them, because God didn't give them the intelligence. He took me aside and gave me intelligence for such a time as this. And now I have inside information because the Lord brought me to this point. Now, when we start out, we mean well. We want to follow God in every way and in every category. But then, you know, the same desire to follow God, it would, when it was time for me to follow him and obey him and things that I didn't, that was new to me, it took me by surprise. I felt inadequate. I didn't know how to judge it. But I still wanted to be a blessing. But without the intelligence, it looked weird to me. But it came from the Lord. And you know, in the Lord, he showed me, he had to deal with me. He had to school me and teach me what he needed me to know. And I had to cooperate. Now, this is why I said that. When we first start out, we trust God as we know him. But then as we get to know him, we still have to trust God in line with his word and in line with his character and in line with what he's saying, because he's right. Out of all the things God ever did and taught me, everything he said was right. It was perfect. Sometimes I just didn't see it. I didn't have a full picture. It was perfect. It was wise. It was holy. And it was all based on his love. And all three together is life. And I said, if I ignore this to stay normal, I'm going to miss something. And that's true. I'm going to have to. But I had a vow that I would obey him. So times that I would have been more reluctant to obey him, I made myself obey him. And because of that, I'm so thankful that I continued. Because now I can see what I never saw before. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I learned things that I really didn't know. Now, I said all that to say this. When you can love God, you can say, Lord, save me through... You know, just like I did. I said, Lord, please save me. I believe on Jesus that he's my Lord and my Savior. And forgive me of all my sin. And I knew he would do it. He was just waiting on me. And I asked him to save me just like that. I said, I believe that Jesus washed my sins away in his blood and he rose to justify me. I said, I believe that and I receive salvation. I said, please save me through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I felt like a brand new man. And all I wanted to do was love him and love his people. I had no skills. All I had was a new spirit desiring to do right. But time happened. Over time, the Lord, I was a student. I was always learning things I needed to know. But the day I made a vow was so similar to what happened to Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28, I'm going to skip a few verses. Isaac sent